Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, aw shit, wait a minute, hell no, Paco Lancini, not here. Paco Lancini on vacation with the Lancini clan on a trip. So now with us is the one, the only.
Oh, she's over it. I'm going to put my dick in.
Yes, yeah, she's here.
Asshole.
At last, ladies and gentlemen, live in the room is Natalie, my wife. Holy balls. Say hello to the nice people, my dear. Why isn't, oh, now we can't hear your microphone. Did I do something wrong? Oh, try. There we go.
Aww. Hello, nice people.
Hello, nice wife.
He still doesn't want me to talk.
We are, how dare you. We are having a date night. So the, when you're not listening to this live, this is being recorded at 8:22 Pacific time because we are fucking animals. We are crazy.
We've already had our date.
We went out and had a delightful dinner. And we, because we're crazy, we decided we're not going to eat dessert at our favorite Italian place, as my grandfather would say. We found another place on Yelp. This is what I love about our lifestyle. Is
we're so old.
You get crazy. It's not boring. Old. It's, we're not old.
But we're fun. I think we're fun.
Nobody.
I had fun.
I don't know. I think.
Okay, no, finish your sentence.
I think the people that listen to this also think this is fun. You know what I mean? Where you go on Yelp, and that's adventure.
Well, if it's 8:20 on a Saturday and they're listening to this, this is their fun.
Right. That's yeah. What I'm saying.
Those are our people.
That's what I'm saying is that you go, you look on Yelp, and then you go to a new place and you try it out. We like to eat. You would think that we would each weigh 400 pounds. The fact that you, my dear, look the way you look is jaw-dropping with your love for the food. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's good times. And then... this is also what I love. So we go to a pie place, the Republic of Pies.
It was amazing. Yeah. 1,100 reviews, 4 stars.
Listen to us.
Cherry pie, like, it doesn't run all over your plate. You stab it with a fork and it sticks. And then you can, like, feel it go in your teeth and your mouth and down your throat and your stomach. And you're like, yeah, it's so good.
So we're eating pie. And then I was saying, hey, do you want to go see Deadpool? Because I haven't seen Deadpool, and then I kind of wanted to take the kids. This is an interesting thing that maybe you and I can also talk about, but what does it say that I'm not worried about the violence?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the vulgar language in Deadpool.
Yeah. No.
But what I was told, and I wouldn't even be worried about the nudity, but I was told that there was a lot of sex, and I don't like that. I don't like that about the way that we are as a people, that... I'm okay with my, because here's why. I think that violence, at least from yours and my perspective, maybe you would disagree with me on this, my love, is that I could look at our son and go, yeah, that's a superhero who just shot that guy in the head. And I know that you saw brain bits and blood fly out of his head, but it's all fake, right?
Right? If you said, fuck, it's not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
I could say that, listen, we all know those are words that people say. There are places to say those words and there are places not to say those words. And as I tell my children, you don't get to say those words until you pay bills.
Right.
When you pay bills, then you could be angry and use foul language. But right now, you got nothing to be angry about, in my opinion. But it's sex. For them to watch sex.
Watch some guy pounding some girl. Like,
that's even more interesting.
Right?
I definitely wouldn't show them porno, but I saw porn when I was like 8 by accident.
No, it's not even porno, but it's that, yeah.
But it, yeah, just like, because
I remember when I was younger and we watched some movie at a movie theater, and I remember watching a sex scene, and I was probably Jacob's age. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching this, you know, seductive kiss that led to clothes coming off and then poundage.
Poundage? You saw what movie?
Yeah, I don't remember.
How could you see poundage and not remember the movie?
What I do remember is my mother covering my eyes in the movie theater, which to me, that made me go, wait, what's going on? And then made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Where had she left me alone and me just watch it, I was fine. But the second she covered my eyes to stop it is where, like, I remember physically feeling weird and anxious and embarrassed and not knowing and not understanding or knowing why.
Yeah, and I saw a porno that my dad had put on the television for my sister had like her 21st birthday party at the house, and they never had parties at the house. It was a big deal. And he thought it would be funny because everybody was going in and out, getting, they had like a keg of beer in the backyard. And so he put one of his pornos on to see who would stop, and not thinking that the 8-year-old would settle in. and my dad was kind of playing host, and he stops. I'm sure I've told this story on the show before, but he stops and he says, what are you doing there, son? And he has the same kind of thing that you're describing, where he doesn't want to flip out
right.
and make it a big deal. And I remember the scene. I also do not remember the title of this movie, but I remember there being a 70s van with some kind of shag carpet wall situation.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they were all in the back of this 70s van wearing, like, they were like showgirls. They had some kind of headdress to them. Not huge, but there was a headdress to them. All the girls were naked. Yeah. There was at least like four or five, because I remember one was like rubbing his back. One was like, you know, manicuring his nails. And then one was filleting him. And my dad was like, what you watching? I said, I don't know. It's some movie. And he goes, oh. And then I said, it's not very good, though. And my dad's like, well, what do you mean? What's it about? I go, well, I think this guy's like a king or something, because everybody's trying to take care of him. But I honestly, I don't get it. And he goes, okay, and he just kind of walked away.
Yeah.
And within about 2 more minutes, I lost interest and moved on. And I don't think, well, you would know, as the person who gets to share the sexy time with me, do I have any sexual hangups that you are aware of? Yeah,
no.
I'm not uptight or weird. Do I have any, like, pervy tendencies where it's like, I need you to be eating a cherry while I stare into this Sudoku puzzle and try to solve it using my left testicle? Do I ever do any of that?
No, but the night is still young.
Oh, okay. It's date night, bitches.
Ooh, it's only 8:20.
But go ahead.
Did you feel uncomfortable, like, when your dad? Yeah, because he didn't make a big deal about it.
No, yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. When you make a big deal, you're trying to protect them, but in making a big deal of it, then now you've made it an issue for them. Because I vividly remember that feeling.
But I think you would still agree that if there is some kind of, I think somebody in the chat room already said that there's a sex montage in this movie, that you and I would not be okay sitting with our 7- and 4-year-old while that goes down.
Yeah, because we've watched some shows where it starts to get a little heavy and it's
Remember Neighborhood Watch with Ben Stiller and I think it was Vince Vaughn and all that, where it's like, oh, it's a movie about, a funny movie about these guys that catch an alien while they're doing Neighborhood Watch. I'm like, this is right up Jacob's alley. It's something that you and I can enjoy while we're watching it with him. And then there's just this random orgy scene that's plugged in. And that is how I discovered parentalpreviews.com. And now what I do is, if it's a PG-13 movie, then I kind of look and go, why is it PG-13? And see what goes on.
Oh, that's cool. So that'd probably be Deadpool then. We wait for it to get it in our house. And then when we see the sexy time about to happen and the poundage, then we bloop, bloop, bloop.
I don't know. But is it bloop, bloop, blooping? Kind of like the modern day version of covering the eyes.
This is true, because then Jacob's going to be like, well, what did I miss? What's going on? Because they're aware. It's not like he's two.
Yeah, because we've watched,
Let's do it. Let's watch. Let him watch it and see what happens. And that'll be a whole other podcast.
Just so everybody's aware, this is Date Night Natalie talking.
People can say, oh my God, they're horrible. Or I'm kind of tempted to do what they did. How'd it work out for them? And then they can still be the good parents.
That's true. I like the idea of our children being everybody else's guinea pigs.
Totally. Yeah.
We'll put
little brain things on them and, like, measure their heart rate and pulse.
So great that we have somewhat of national health care now, because we're going to need some mental health care for our children, I'm sure, when they get older.
$30 copay.
Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. So we'll figure out this Deadpool thing. Chances are not going
to
happen.
To be continued.
But anyway, the other thing is, the last episode, we can't really just leave this without addressing it. The last episode was, you don't know this, Natalie, you know the circumstance, obviously, but the last episode was titled Spoonful of Sugar.
Oh.
Because that was Jacob trying to get, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Bless his heart. And guess who took the medicine in less than 10 minutes the other day?
Right.
No vomit on the
Hell
shoes.
Hell yeah, Mechanomium.
That was exciting.
Yes. Jacob, we went to, so he had a headache
so much.
Situation. This is what I love about being a parent too, is that, so when you're home, things go wrong.
Yes.
And it's,
oh my God, when Justin used to go out on the road all the time, it never failed. Like, the
she would end up in an emergency room.
Yes. It was hilarious.
And I would constantly get texts of like, don't worry. This is what I love. Don't worry.
But we're at the
I have one of your offspring in an emergency room.
With 102 temperature.
Right.
That's having trouble breathing.
Also, no family nearby to help.
Go be funny.
Right, yeah. Now, go make with the yuck yucks and try to feel happy about your choices in life.
Yeah.
Love you. Kiss, kiss. Emoji. And I think it's just a mom thing. I think it's that when kids are around the mom, things go wrong. They want to talk about it. They want to complain.
They got to be a little tougher.
Yes.
We're going to toughen up with dad.
They don't have to be
tough. Oh, it hurts.
No, here's what moms don't understand. They don't have to be tough with us. It's that we don't listen. Yeah. We don't let them complain. And like when they complain to me, I go, do you think I want to hear this? I don't care. Now this also, I could be being wildly sexist in that I think this also could be a caregiver. You know what I mean? Like whoever is the one who's home the most during the day.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like your mom working in the hospital forever. It's like you come home from school and you're sick and she's like, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I've been dealing with sick people for 12 hours. Yeah. It's the same kind of thing where if you're not home as much, it's what's going on?
So I had an interesting conversation with Paco that I wanted to kind of it sucks that he's not here, but I wanted to get this out of the way because I've gotten so many fantastic emails that very touching. Thank you guys very much because, like I said in the episode, one of the things that felt like this huge weight was lifted off was when Michael Crozier said, oh, dude, I've been there. Like, that's to hear somebody else go, oh, that's nothing. When you are just so frustrated, and I don't even know how to describe it, but here's what I realized is that after the episode, Adam and I were talking, and he was kind of like, hey, here's what I think. Like, maybe in the future, you don't do this. Maybe in the and we didn't get in an argument. It's not like it was heated in any way, shape, or form, but clearly, I mean, you don't have to listen to the show very much to realize that Adam and I have two different perspectives on parenting. Yeah. I think it's one of the reason why one of the many reasons why he works well on the show with me is that he has a different way of doing it. And when he comes back, we'll kind of talk about
some
this more often.
Some kids will work his way. Some kids will work your way. Every kid is a little bit different, too.
But what I find interesting about that was I think that this is kind of why people aren't more open about their frustrations with parenting. I think that what happens is when you, as human beings, when you complain about something, the natural urge is for somebody to try to help you. But because parenting is so specific to who you are and then how you mesh with that other person, that for somebody to come at you and go, just here's some food for thought. And it sucks because there are people that you know that I'm sure you can have conversations with that are like, here's some food for thought. Like, as an example, when my dad says something, very rarely do I go, okay, dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because his and my perspectives on parenting are very different, this is what I want to address. Why I brought this up is that he thought that the reason I got so emotional had to do with guilt, had to do with shame about what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be honest to everybody listening, to be clear, is that the reason I got so emotional is because it was hard.
Yeah.
It was just it was a fucking struggle.
Well, and it would be easy at the time to feel guilty because you don't know if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. But the point is, you knew for what Jacob needed, you were doing the right thing by him.
That my point to him was, because he kept saying, he goes, why would you dig your heels in the ground? Why would you not give up?
Because there's a bigger lesson.
And I told him, I said, you're saying that having the hindsight of knowing what I went through. While I was going through it, I honestly thought that I was 30 seconds away from him having a little bit of a breakthrough and him and I getting through this together and him taking that medicine.
Yeah.
And That's why I wanted to bring this up now, because I didn't want to forget it because I'm very forgetful, but B, it's the very next episode. And for anybody who ends up going through that, I think we all can relate to that it's like the biggest frustration that we all have as parents is that you feel right. Mm-hmm. It is the closest comparison as a person who has no real religion. Right. This is the closest that I could get to the concept of faith. Is that we all have a tremendous faith that what we're doing is the right thing,
right.
But we are so unbelievably blind to it. Because most of the time, we're either doing it by comparison to other people that are around us in social circles, or by comparison to our parents, good or bad. And it is a tremendous guessing game. And you could educate yourself with all the books that you want. But what's weird about it is I don't think any of us know anybody that has read the books, looks at parents and goes, no, I think I'm killing this.
Yeah.
At all times. I know that we all have moments where, and that's why we do moment of the week and everything, where it's like, no, I'm nailing this. You know what I mean? Like, I think honestly, before the medicine thing, I was having a strong run of like, I think this is going well. Excuse me. I had issues where it was, am I too hard on them? Like I sometimes think that. I don't worry about it because worry would imply that I don't think they need it.
It's not guilt, but it's you're thoughtful of them and their feelings and how they end up growing up.
My fear is, and this is what I told Adam, as I said, my fear, and I think what makes me so emotional is that I know that I expect a lot of the kid and I know that I lean on him. The reason I got emotional is because it's really hard. Mm-hmm. A lot of times doing what we think, I'm really blowhardy right now. A lot of times doing what we think is the good thing is the hard thing. Yeah. It would be easy for me just to go, you know what, son, I understand you don't want to take medicine. Let's just
screw
hit the sack
it, and walk away.
We'll worry about this problem another day. Yeah, that's no.
But that 2 days ago, he took the medicine.
Right.
And had you not had that 2 hour standoff, it might have worked. It might not have worked. But when he could vocalize and say, Mom, I'm getting scared. Mom, I'm a little scared. And it was, okay, well, you got to control your brain, calm your brain, take a deep breath. I understand you're scared, but it'll be over quick. And then he, at the end of the day, he has to decide to do it.
Yep.
And he did it, and it was awesome because then he was smiling. He felt confident. He felt like he could tackle it. He did it all in almost one sip where, you know, just 2-3 days ago, it was a fight. So, and that's the thing with parenting. It's like what we've talked about. You feel guilty if you're, are you too hard on them? Are you not hard enough on them? Like, are you teaching them the right values? Do you hug them enough? At the end of the day, you don't even know if you did the right thing until they're like 30.
Yeah.
Because then now at our age, we can go look back and go, oh, that's why my parents did that. Or I wish they would have done this differently. But all we're trying to do is a better job than what our parents did. If that makes sense. And then hopefully,
or just
if
as
they
good.
Didn't like if Jacob and Jack grow up and say, you know, I hated it when my mom did this, they're not going to do that. And maybe they're going to be better parents than we're better.
Yeah.
Than us. You know, it's the cycle. And that's how it should be. I want what's better for them than what I had when I was younger. Not that it was horrible, but there's things that I want for them that are different from my childhood.
Right.
You know?
And the other thing I want to say is, to be clear, the reason I got so emotional, like I was saying, is that it was hard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I honestly wanted to just hug him and say I'm sorry, because I have that urge. And I guess I don't know. My fear is that I'm communicating this urge that I withhold love from my children, which is why I'm glad that you're here, because you know that I don't withhold love for them.
No.
But you know that I have a purposeful edge that I have a drive. I have a push as maybe that I want a little bit more. I always want a little bit more.
So let me ask you. And you do. You have a high expectation and you want a little bit more. And here's the bar. And let's reach that bar and let's exceed that bar, and exceeding that expectation makes them feel confident, and there's lots of benefits to this. But why not show them that moment of vulnerability? Because
that's not what he needed.
You don't.
That was
think
the other
so.
Thing that Adam told me, that he's like, he goes, the first time it was Buddy, and I go, yeah, I said, but first time was Buddy and it was working. And I go, and I tried Buddy, like being nice guy, like let's do this together, blah blah blah, and it wasn't working. And I felt like he needed somebody to be like, listen, this is it. This is when it's happening.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. Again, he, in my opinion of what he was telling me, and it's kind of unfair that I'm bringing this because he's not here to kind of go, no, this is what I was saying. But in my opinion, what he was saying is like, I saw the game tape. Here's what I think you should have done.
Yeah. Well, and any parent's going to do that because they're,
But you can't do that. That's my point. That's the whole point.
Because
you can't do that.
Yes.
Because you get to go through that experience.
Right.
And this is why I wanted to say all that. So the big thing, I got emotional because it was hard. Also, because the kid is such a good kid.
Yeah.
He is such a good kid with such a beautiful heart. To do anything that is negative to me can really be a struggle, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I, in my gut,
even if you
in
know
my
it's
gut,
the best
I'm like,
thing
I
for
know
him,
this is what's good.
It's still to watch him and to know that it's uncomfortable or whatever. You don't, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I tried to find it. I wanted to compile these and everything, but I ended up having Italian food with my wife before I did this. But I think it was Lori. And if I'm not mistaken, that sent a message that I to me that was very sweet. A lot of you sent a ton of messages that I cried like a baby while I read. I read through the chat room after the episode, cried like a baby at that. I cried like a baby a lot. But Lori said, don't should on yourself.
Oh,
and I love that.
Nice.
I love the idea because that's what we do.
Yeah.
We think, what should I have done or what should I be doing?
No,
and inadvertently, we end up shitting on ourselves.
True.
And questioning ourselves. And a lot of messages felt the same way that I do. And we've, you know, Dr. Tina Payne Bryson came on the show and she's a child development psychologist. And she said, in the cases that I've seen, the people who are worried about doing a good job as a parent are not the people that you worry about or should be worried about.
It's the fuck knuckles.
Right. It's the ones that are completely oblivious.
Oh, like one that banked the other day. This like 2-year-old was dragging the 9-month-old across the floor. And I'm like, there's a rail there and that baby is going to fall. And sure enough, as soon as I shut the door, both parents are nose deep in their cell phone. The 2-year-old drops the kid, mouth hits the metal onto the threshold of the door. I wanted to go over and slap their ass. But those parents, yeah, they got all their shit figured out.
So that's that. We'll talk more about that when Paco comes back. One of the things when we said that Natalie was going to be on the show was that we would talk about pet peeves. But before we get to that, the other thing I want to talk about is the episode before Spoonful of Sugar, maybe it was the same one. I don't know. It all kind of blends together. I talked about having to go to Jacob's school's birthday or Valentine's party that I kind of ran it because I'm the room mom. And I was frustrated about this fact that we live in a world now where realistically both parents are working in order to maintain a certain level of lifestyle. Both people have to have full-time jobs, and yet there also seems to be a higher expectation of parental involvement than what I felt like there was when we were kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
My mom never stepped foot in it. I don't remember any of my friends' moms even stepping foot in a classroom. If you didn't see someone besides the teacher, that was weird.
In kindergarten, in one of the kindergarten classes at our kids' elementary school, every day there are 8 volunteers in that classroom.
That's insane.
Every day. Can you?
What the hell are you paying the teacher for?
Well, Natalie's here, everybody. No, it's weird, and that's why like the teacher we have now, like she doesn't have a ton of volunteers. But here's the point: I did all this complaining, all this bitching and moaning and railing about how annoying it was, how we had to get hypoallergenic snacks and food and blah 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 blah, and then there was five parents there to watch 26 kids eat Valentine's-esque snacks, and it was a lot of fun. I got to be honest, as much as I shat all over it, it was fun to sit and watch the kids and goof around with them and, you know, tease them. Some of the kids got to see a magic show because they sold chocolate. And
so
one of the kids was like this big star of it and all that stuff. And so
did you tell everybody what your son said and your dad was so proud of?
No.
So when Jesse and Jacob were sitting at the dinner table and they were doing their Valentine's. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, I did not say this.
Yeah. They were doing the Valentines and we were explaining to Grandpa that, you know, we have to have one Valentine for everybody. You can't put your name on it. Right. And there's one for everyone in the class. Well, when we were growing up, you actually you had a list of all the people in your class and you'd put to and you'd put from. Right. And sometimes you'd put, I heart you. Or you're my best friend or whatever, right? And then you'd put the little Valentines. Yeah, you'd put the little Valentines in their thing. And the nice kids got lots of Valentines, lots of Valentines. And the kids were the bullies or the jerks in the classroom got like 2 and 1 from the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were sitting at the dinner table and Jesse had said, well, that takes all the fun out of it, right?
Yeah, my dad is transitioning into being cranky old guy really quickly,
so,
by the way.
In the classroom, guess when the teacher says, okay, take out your Valentines and we're going to pass them out and everybody has a box and make sure every kid gets a Valentine. And our son raises his hand and says, my grandpa said that takes all the fun out.
Yeah. She said, remember not to put anybody's name on it. And he goes, yeah, that takes all the fun out of it. And then the teacher
Jacob
goes,
wouldn't stop.
Yeah. He goes, but it's no fun.
Why? Yes.
He does it. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, he does that stuff like he takes medicine.
Yeah.
So that was that. Now let's talk pet peeves.
Pet peeves?
Now, as I said on the Facebook page, I can't remember exactly. I apologize who suggested this. But I don't understand how we can talk about this at any length because I don't understand how anything that I do could be annoying.
Oh, you know why, dear?
Why?
Because Justin is like, well, here, I'll tell you exactly.
Now, here's what's interesting is that in order to come up with a list of things.
Christopher Terry.
All Mr. right. With a K, right?
We always hear Justin's pet peeves about you, Natalie. I would like to hear some of yours about him. That should be fun.
And I, so you came up with two.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't know how you did it with that. But even if anybody wants to take stabs at me and say, oh, Justin thinks he's so perfect,
you
right?
Know why? Dear?
Why is it so hard for you to come up with, why can't you come up with like 18?
Justin, I have a secret for all listeners. Justin is like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Practically perfect in every way.
Pretty fucking awesome, right?
You are. And I think just a few minutes ago, you made a Mary Poppins restaurant reference.
I did?
Spoonful of sugar.
Yeah.
Totally Mary Poppins.
Well, that was Paco who titled that episode.
Well, I only have two for the day.
Are you going to do one today or are you going to do both?
Two for the year or just two for the day.
All right, let's argue
we'll
about
see.
This.
But
You're going to tell me what I do.
So every time I'm on,
I will make
it a goal of mine to find a pet peeve.
Because
I'm pretty easygoing. I'm like, Justin does this, but whatever. Justin does this, whatever.
Nope. You're not going to pass it. No.
Justin
Listen to me. Love of my life. Listen to me.
Me.
Bring you're not going to pass this bullshit off.
Oh, now he's yelling.
Like, you're not going to sit there and go, oh, you know why I don't have pet peeves? It's because I'm really fucking chill.
I am.
No. Bullshit.
Okay.
Nope, we're not done talking about this.
I'm not chill?
Yeah, no, you're not chill.
Oh, okay.
You're not chill because you have things that annoy you. But here's the reason why you don't have a fucking litany of things to say that annoy me is that these two fucking things you had to write on your cell phone.
Look what you started, Christopher.
Cell phone. You had to write them down on your notes in your cell phone.
I don't want to let the listeners down.
I know you don't want to let them down, but my point is, I could come up with four things on a whim.
Yeah.
Easily.
Only four.
Not even trying is my point, right? Now, they might be a little bit repetitive, but still, because top of mind. You understand, honey? Top of mind.
Yeah.
But see, it's so hard for you to find flaws.
Oh.
In your perfect.
Look at him smiling.
Your perfect husband. Mm-hmm. You have to write that shit down like it's who was the Secretary of State.
Is it because you have so little
in 1867?
Or is it just because I'm chill?
Huh? No, it's not because you're chill. Has nothing to do with your chill. I've seen you get angry about everything.
What?
You do.
Not that you do.
Other people
are fucking idiots. But
yes. But I don't claim to be chill. You're claiming to be chill. Meanwhile.
Oh, about you.
You're only chill about me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, let's get to your pet peeves.
All right, my pet peeves.
I think I already got one
that's
of mine.
One. Cross that off my list. No, pet peeves? Oh, boy. Okay. So, well, Justin already knows this one. So he's heard this one before. So this isn't new to his ears. But your ears. He will get a package delivered.
You've said this.
From somewhere. Did not hear. They want to know my pet peeves.
All right.
He will get a package delivered. He will slide the little thingy open and open it. He will take the stuffing out. He will take the item in said package. And then he will leave the package and the wrapping on the counter.
Mm.
Biggest pet. If it's not on the counter, it's in the other room. It could be a package for anything. It doesn't have to be like special delivery. Drives me crazy.
Please tell me when I can rebuke this. I would like a rebuttal.
By all means.
Now is my time?
Sure.
All right.
Floor is yours.
Let's cast aside what I go through in a day. All right. Let's just, we're not even going to get there.
Okay.
How can you have a pet peeve of me leaving trash?
Oh, I totally know there's, this is going.
Yeah. Aren't you glad Christopher brought up this little game for you?
Oh,
you
Mr.
fucked up
Terry
my date night,
so
Christopher. You're lucky Aunt Flo's here, because otherwise I'd be ruining my chance to get late.
Muffin shop closed.
No, you keep junk mail. Coupons. How is is that different than a package?
I only keep the coupons in my purse now.
No.
I have limited it to the purse.
So if I go in there, if I go in the drawer with the kitchen towels, there's not going to be any coupons in there?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, see? How many holes do we have, honey?
Well, I thought you would say not junk mail. Like, I don't throw your mail away. And I want to make sure to touch it and check it before I throw it away. But I think where you're going with this is I have a problem with the box and a wrapper on the kitchen counter, but I have no fucking problem leaving a clusterfuck of shit all over my dresser on top of the living room, dining room table. Hmm. You have to move papers in order to put your plate of food. So
I don't know.
That it's a counter pet peeve.
I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's...
This is fun.
Right? Okay. I feel like it makes it worse that you know... You just did like an impression of me talking about this. Yeah. And yet it does nothing to change any of it.
Really, actually, it made you sound even more practically perfect in every way.
Listen.
Because you leave a wrapper, I'll leave like 5 pieces of paper.
And I have gotten...
And I am trying to get better at that. I am trying to be more aware of my piles...
This is what
and
I love.
My baskets.
This is what I love about what it is to be you.
Yes, that's a whole other pet peeve because Justin says you try.
I really feel like...
You try. Really trying is not good enough.
There's a part of me that kind of wants to give... I want to give Christopher what he's looking for. This is, people love this.
I've got another one.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing. People, when I first started doing stand-up, my first hour of comedy was about complaining about you, okay? And I would constantly get people come up to me after a show, and they would say, does your wife know all the horrible things you say about her? And I said, yes, she does. And
it's not horrible if it's true.
Right.
And if you're getting paid for it, you could say whatever the hell you want.
Very funny. I put a special feature on the DVD where I'd say, you know, this will be your chance to fire back. And I thought there would be a little bit of this, what we're having right here. Only I wasn't involved, obviously. It messed things up because you found out you were carrying our first child. And so I think that made you super sweet and happy because it was basically like, what do you think about when Justin says this? And you're like, yeah, he's kind of right. Which was hilarious, but also pointless to make the video. But I think it's because when you tell me something like the trash thing.
That's something that bugs me too. Like,
I know,
he'll actually do it.
That's a pet peeve. That's a bad thing. Oh, my God. I'll fucking kill you. I will kill you in your sleep.
Totally.
I will admit on the internet that I will end your life, woman.
Natalie, you got to stop doing this. Stop. Okay, I'm going to stop.
I will turn around and do it again.
Justin? No, you say, you got to stop. You got to be more. Okay. And then he'll stop. And I'm so jealous.
You say, I will try to possibly maybe do my best in an effort to improve upon what I have potential to create.
Absolutely. And I mean every word of it. Full conviction.
Absolutely. I mean every word of it. I hate you so much. Oh, God. All right. Let's do it. This is fun. What's another pet peeve?
Okay, my second one? Okay. And then no more after today. You have to wait till next time I come on.
Okay.
All right, so the second one, I don't want to embarrass you. I hope this doesn't embarrass you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think it would be pretty hard to embarrass me.
Yeah, I don't know. But we will be sitting on the television. Kids are
sitting on the television?
Near the television. Now it's getting late. It's 8:55.
Oh, my God.
It's almost bedtime.
On our date night, by the way, we were at the place eating a pie, and you said something to the effect of like, I said, well, what do you want to do next? You're like, it's 7:30. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? You even mentioned watching Survivor. I'm like, I'm down. That sounds fun.
I love you.
Squirrel. Okay. Going back. So we'll be snuggling on the couch, watching a show. Kids are in bed. It's all quiet. And I'll hear.
What is that?
Chewing your fingernails. he will chew his fingernail. And
it why would that embarrass me?
In his mouth. And you're...
People chew their fingernails.
Oh, my God. No. People don't chew
their... You are the only one...
I do not chew my fingernails.
I know, but you are the only one who gets weird about this. People chew their fingernails all the time.
No, you chew your fingernails and you spit it out. You don't slosh it around and use it as a toothpick for
what
the
you are not
meat
going
stuck
to do,
in the back second.
You are not going to come on my show and make it seem like I'm the guy who spits them on the floor for them to be cleaned up later.
Spit them on the floor.
No,
I spit them on the floor.
I put them on a Kleenex or whatever to throw away.
But you swirl it in your mouth before you put it on the Kleenex. And I have to say, stop chewing your fingernails.
All right.
So I hope I don't embarrass you.
That's nothing to be embarrassed
about. Okay.
You don't know why I chew my fingernails? Because I have a wife who doesn't understand how to carry grocery bags from the doorway to the van.
Have you seen any grocery bags by the front door?
No. You know why? Do you want to know why?
Because they've been in the car.
Yeah. Where are they in the car, by the way?
In the driver's seat?
Yes. Fucking whore.
They're in the car.
Fucking whore.
They are in the car. I am doing better, making an effort, trying my best.
They are in the car.
They are in the covered
you
vehicle
found,
with wheels.
You found a way.
Transports to the grocery store.
You found a way to make it worse, though. You found a way. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
See, I can't How win.
No, don't say that either. How can I love you?
I have no idea.
How...
Maybe this is why I keep you on your toes.
No, don't. I hate that.
I keep it exciting.
No, you don't.
I keep it a challenge.
Exciting.
There
how
is
about
no
this?
Containing me.
Why don't you do this? You want to keep me on my toes?
Okay.
Let's see how happy we can make.
Yeah.
You. Let's try that game.
Let's try that.
Right?
Remember, though, I try really hard and I fail.
Your potential. No.
So
you
close to the bar.
That's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I touch the bar. I touch.
Listen, you could touch the bar a little bit more.
Yeah, really? Rub the bar?
When I got in the car, it's so funny to me because I didn't make the connection of the getting frustrated that they're by the front door. I just got into the car and I just look at it and this is what I have to do. Because I love you, and I don't want to not love you, evidently. And that it becomes white noise to me. So I see that literally the passenger seat of a minivan, not a fucking sedan car, a minivan, a car with square footage.
Oh, I thought it was the Camry that had the bags in it. Oh, well, I think maybe the Camry has a bag in it, too, in the passenger side.
I take the Camry. Oh, God.
Okay, finish your sentence.
What I wouldn't give to be you.
Finish your
sentence. I wouldn't give. So here's the point. Yes, Swagger Wagon, Super Dave. So anyway, the Swagger Wagon has a third row seat that is always in a state of collapse to provide what is in every, it might as well be a full bed of a pickup back there. But if you look at that. What
sweater?
There's no yes. Always. Oh my God.
Sweater.
Always a fucking.
We had sand toys back there for a while, but we did away with that. Bags.
When you say we did away with it, what does that mean? Let's come on. We're
no,
doing the
that's
Natalie's,
not as interesting.
Yes, it is.
No,
we're doing
you go
Natalie's,
finish what you were saying.
We're doing Natalie's pet peeves. When you say
no, now we're getting into your pet peeves.
No, I think it's all the same. Oh, I mean, we're
really?
Married to each other. Mm-hmm. Hold up a mirror. The
so we're both
where
peeves.
What happened to the sand toys?
They're in the. Backyard toys now.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Because I carried them out of the car because they were getting sand all over the fucking car all
and
the
then,
time.
Oh, he really liked it too when he saw the dry seaweed in the...
Oh my God.
God only knows how long
Who the hell takes seaweed home from the ocean?
We went to the beach. It was
yeah,
cold.
Yeah, but you don't live in fucking Nebraska.
Schenetti
the beach is
20 cold.
Minutes away.
And then I'm like, sure, you can take that home. We forgot. I'm surprised this car didn't smell.
Oh, did you not think it did? How do you think I fucking found the seaweed?
Oh, it was really dried by the time
I
we
hate
found
you.
It.
So much hate for you. So, I can't remember what I was saying. But I get in the car and I just see literally the passenger seat fucking covered in grocery bags. And what is that noise? Huh, I wonder how that happened.
I don't remember.
I hate you. And I had to just tune it out. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Is every marriage Oscar and Felix the Odd Couple? You probably don't get that reference, but you know what I mean? Where there's one uptight. Yes, the Odd Couple with Matthew Perry. That's what you get in this reference. You know what I mean? Is every married couple that, where one of you is the slob and kind of laid back?
I think so. And I don't, I'd be curious to see what other listeners say about their marriage, to see if it's something that they actually communicate and verbalize to each other, or if it's something that they just white noise deal with.
Which one are you hoping for?
Well, if you white noise deal with it, though, it could just be more of an irritation, and it'll build and build and build, and then all of a sudden someone leaves the coffee can out, and then wife is going bananas in the kitchen, and it's not because the coffee can was out. It's because of, you know, the pile of bags sitting on the passenger side because they didn't vent about it.
Stephanie in the chat room said, we yell.
Who yells?
Her and her
oh,
husband.
Oh, they do yell.
They
okay.
just yell.
Yeah. But then I think if they, like, maybe if they talked about it more, then they wouldn't yell. That's what I'm saying. It's like you deal with it.
Yeah, but how much can you talk about the same fuck? Trust me, I know.
That's what I mean. We try so hard. But we slip.
You know that movie, 50 First Dates, or the one with the horrible movie, Drew Barrymore and Adam, where every day he has to remind her of
Or like Groundhog Day, like it's the same.
It's like if that were a Greek tragedy sometimes. Oh. That's what I feel like my marriage is to you.
Yeah.
Where, and I listen, ladies out there.
And eventually one day you're going to die or leave. Like
that's true. I'm not going to leave. I don't, because here's the thing. If I haven't left at this point, this is... I truly believe this. At a certain point, for the ladies listening, I don't know, maybe you could tell, you know, say something for the fellas that'll make them feel better. But for the ladies listening, at a certain point, I think it's about double-digit years, once you start to tread into that territory, when a guy gets angry, he's not angry at you. He's angry at himself because he doesn't know why he's still there. It's very confusing for us to see so many things that frustrate us and aggravate us that... from our angle, could just be so easily fixed and changed where, and it's like,
true.
And all we do for the most part is see ways that we have bended and shifted to help you in your life. Maybe that's more my thing, I guess, because acts of service is my love language, but like, that's what I spend most of my time. I'm like, I do all this. Like, here's the thing. Chances are after tonight, I will never chew on my fingernails again. And here's how I know this. A long time ago, you complained about this, and you said, it's disgusting, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I did the next day after you told me that? I went to a CVS, and I purchased fingernail clippers, and I kept them in the van. Because it's what I don't notice it when unless I'm
but
sitting.
But if like something's snagging, then you want to get rid of it. So
right, and it's
it.
A multitasking thing to me.
Yes.
So now, but I could just bite it in the car, right?
Yeah.
But because it bothers you. But and
don't
I realize,
bite it, spit it out. Don't, like I said, don't use it like a toothpick.
Right. I'm just thinking. Right. I'm not sitting there going, oh my gosh,
you're
this is delicious. I'm just like,
ew.
You know, I'm not thinking that.
Yeah.
But so I have fingernail clippers in the van door. So I trim them, but I lost those. I can't remember. I think I took them with me someplace. And then so I have to replace them. But that's after today, you'll probably never see me. Bite my fingernails
again. Very sweet. No, and I think it's the thing where you get into the double digits maybe as a guy too. It's like you've already put all this time into it. So to have to start all over with some other bitch that has some other tweak thing that you don't like that drives you crazy would just be more exhausting. You're already exhausted with
us. No, here's the thing. I think that's a female rationalization. Maybe that's what you guys think. Because I think it's very,
I've already spent this much time to go back to another one, and then he's going to have some other pet peeve, and then I might as well just deal with this one.
I think guys can be pretty deep emotionally, but I don't think we're that deep. I think as a dude that we just kind of go, we don't understand. This is why we're not always good at romance 100% of the time. It's because we don't understand quite why we feel and maybe can't articulate what we feel, but we know that we feel. And it's, again, not very romantic. It's not something they could put in a movie, but they really should, is that it's the very fact that as crazy as you make us, the fact that we are still there, honestly, That is the biggest sign of affection that you, that is more diamond, you know, tennis bracelets or chocolates or whatever you could ever ask for on Valentine's Day. Because I, on a, it, we're not dumb like that, but I do think in a certain way we kind of are, because that's what I think a lot. It, there was one time where you and I had a fight and you got upset and you're like, well, I guess this just isn't going to work. And I'm like, wait, why would you say that? Like, because to me, I'm like, and I said to you, I go, if I was going to leave, I would have done it a long time ago. Like, trust me.
Yeah.
I am in this for the long haul. Yeah. I will beat my head against this wall about these grocery bags for the next two more decades, if that's what's going to have to happen.
Junk mail.
And I, there's another part of me, too, that's curious to say, what if you just started checking things off? Because you don't really irritate me that much, to be honest. I'm a big fan of you. But what would happen to my life?
Right? If I was like totally perfect and everything.
I don't like how excited you're getting about this.
No.
This is a hypothetical.
Kept the mail off.
Let's challenge it though. Yeah, you know what I mean? Let's see. Let's not
try so hard.
Yeah, you're already spinning this to be like, see, I'm helping you.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And I'm like, no. Let's not go that far with it. I'm just saying, what if because I've had that happen, when, especially when I was working the road. There was a time where, you know, you have all this marriage material, and then we kind of have the kids. And then there was a time when the life got kind of easy. And I was like,
now,
what am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if my life is good enough? I'm sure I'll find something.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll find something. You always do. All right, you want to wrap this up and do a little moment of the week, my love?
Sure.
Do you have any more pet peeves? I don't want to cut you off.
Nope, not yet.
Not yet?
No, not this time. I said I'm only going to do two. Next time I'm on,
no,
I'll
there was
like
a tone, though, is what I'm saying, with your what? Yet that I didn't appreciate. Like, oh, there will be some.
Oh.
And I feel like it's because you're not understanding the perfection that sits across from
me. Yes, this is true.
This is true that you
I
don't understand?
I strive to be like Mary Poppins and Justin Worsham.
Yeah.
I love you.
You could probably drop Mary Poppins off of that because she's fictional and I'm fucking for real.
Yeah.
Let's do some moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
You can go first here.
Okay, so my moment of the week actually just happened a couple days ago with Jack. So I was, he was getting ready for bed, and he wanted to color. And I had to work late. And I said, you know, I can't color, buddy. And but maybe we can color tomorrow. And he said, okay. And I told him, and I think the next day we ran out of time. I had to work late again. And I said, buddy, I said, I'm so sorry. I had to work late again. I can't color. And as a mom that's working full time, you always like feel guilty that you're gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten better at that. I don't feel as guilty. I try to spend that quality time. It's, you know, not quantity, but quality. I've been trying to do that. So the other day I'm like, oh, I want to color with him so bad, but I know it's time for him to go to bed. So I said, buddy, I can't. You know, I had to work late again. I said, but I promise tomorrow I won't have to work late. I will come home and we color, which we did, by the way. But after I said that to him, he looked at me and he goes, well, Mama, just get another job.
Like a different job?
Like a different job. He goes, just get a different job. And I was like, oh, because it kind of... It was a nice little moment because it was kind of sad because it made, you know, you wanted to spend time with him, but it was sweet in the fact that he had that awareness at such a young age to go, oh, well, if you want to spend time with me, just, you know,
change
jobs. Yeah. We're good. Then we can spend time together.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute. And then quick one just with Jacob. It wasn't really, it's really small. Nothing really big and exciting, but it was just cool. Like, it actually happened tonight when we came home early and we got to see them before we went to bed. And he just kind of went out of his way to come hug me and say, I love you, Mama. And it's just those moments. It's like they're not going to always do that. The older they get, you know, they're not going to always do that. So just, like, hold on to that. It was really cool.
For me, it was taking Jacob to... I'm sorry, Jack. It was taking Jack to his dance class. We talked about this earlier on date night where I don't usually go. I kind of do the dad thing where, you know, if you're home, then great. If not, then I take him to the class, and then while he's in the class, I'll go do something real quick because, you know, there's not a lot of room for people to sit, and
yeah.
I'm not a part of that whole, like, scene or whatever. But so it had been a while since I'd seen him, since he'd started taking this hip-hop and dance class. So I go, and I'm watching through the window. They don't let you, like, sit in the room and all this stuff, but they do, like, kind of a freestyle moment where she tells them to freeze, which he stops the music, and then they can dance. And I'd seen them do the routine that they're getting ready for the recital. And, you know, it's a lot of cute, like, you know, toe touching and all that stuff, step together and all that. And but then he starts freestyling and I'm like, holy fuck, look at this kid dance. Yep, like,
he can jam.
And I made Natalie feel wildly uncomfortable, but I truly believe this is that my younger son, he's pretty cute. If he can maintain the cuteness, right, he's got a lot of charm, good humor, and he can dance. He is going to be eyebrow deep in pussy. Oh, my God. I think that you and I may be
long
worried
eyelashes.
About being early grandparents confident. With that kid. I might have to make him get a vasectomy at 12.
He's a smooth talker.
And then we could just, you know, do some kind of repair surgery when he gets married or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
But, like he like, it's just weird watching. He's four and he's not like good, like, let's put him on TV good, but he like, he has these little moments and
he
he's just,
like, tries to do like this pop lock stuff.
Kind of
yeah.
can like he can, uh-huh. I don't know. It's yeah. funny because here's, I saw you dance, dear. And so like, it's funny to see that passed on genetically. And then it was with Jacob today. I was hitting the, I had to work again today early in the morning on Handle on the Law. I ran the board for that because blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was hitting my usual wall at about 3 or 4 o'clock where I'm like, burr, burr, and we're getting him a desk because he can't do his homework on the dining room table. It's too distracting. So we bought him a bed that has a desk underneath it, and we're working all that out at IKEA, and we're on our way in there or leaving. And he said, I want to get some game for his tablet. And my boss at work very sweetly gave him a $10 gift card to Amazon so mm-hmm. he could get apps. And I, being the dad that I am, he goes, Dad, can I get a this kind of game for my tablet? I go, no, because I think he has to pay for it. And then he just as soon he goes, but it's my money. And I went, nice. And I just kind of went, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he kind of, this is what it was, the moment that he kind of looked at me and smiled as if to go, yeah, I fucking yeah. nailed you, old yeah. man.
He's gotten really good at that
you
lately.
At your own game, you
he's
dumb
gotten, what
SOB.
Did he, oh, that was hilarious. Yesterday, what he said to me, oh my gosh, you guys will get a kick out of this really quick. This is a really good one. So we're all in the bathroom, and Justin's brushing teeth for the boys, and my shoes were in there because I had taken a shower, oh. and I left my shoes in the bathroom, and the kids were still getting ready. And Justin, what did you say to me?
I said, honey, come here real quick. And I
yeah, and I was like, well, I was trying to get Jack and do something else, and I was like, yes.
And she had left her shoes in the bathroom, and I said, you're an adult, right?
Right.
And then you see it, and you pick them up or whatever. And I can't remember. What did he say?
So as I was walking out, and I was like, oh, okay. And I go, and I went to pick them out. And then Jacob goes, look, see, Mama, you're just like us.
Yeah. The biggest shitty.
Now I'm the kid leaving the clothes in the damn bathroom.
Oh, so funny. So funny. All right. That was our show. Thank you for letting us chime in on our date night. We'll do more of this kind of stuff with Natalie, maybe even on a regular basis.
Ooh.
If time
thanks
will
for
provide.
Guys. It was fun.
You can like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast. All of the social media handles are in the description of this episode. Want to give a quick plug to Sticker Amigos. That's the place to go for your vinyl sticker and signage needs, whether it's a custom bumper sticker, banner, or lawn sign. Sticker Amigos is your one-stop shop for custom designs and applications. Go to stickeramigos.com and stick it in your bookmarks if you want to, you know, like, say you want to have a funny version of, like, child on board, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you want to have dipshit on board or shit whistle. You want to put that, and you could put asterisks so that, you know, people know what you mean, but without being offensive. Evidently, if you use punctuation instead of vowels, it's totally cool to say fuck on the back of your minivan. Or just say, it's my swagger wagon. You want to put that. Stickeramigos.com can get you handled on that. That's it. All you can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. You can put your email in there and follow us. You get an email whenever we go live. We try to usually record Thursdays at 12 o'clock. Obviously, this is a special After Dark episode. Make sure you bookmark the banner at Amazon. It's at thedadpodcast.com at the very bottom of the page. Click that banner. Bookmark it as your Amazon. Then every time you go back to Amazon, holy balls, we get a little cut. Somebody's chiming in the chat room saying, mugs, mugs. I'm working on getting us some mugs so that we can one day sell merchandise. Lots of things I'm working on.
Stickers.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna quote my wife. I am going to try to do better about getting mugs as merchandise.
Good job,
for the show.
Dear.
I hate you.
Your effort is for an A.
On behalf of the love of my life, the beautiful and lovely Natalie Worsham, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.